Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Mark. On that day, as evening drew close, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Now Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" He woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Are you unable to trust?" And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is good news from the Lord. This very short and beautiful gospel is in some ways a complete summary of the whole journey. And let's sort of look at it line by line. First of all, Jesus says what he often does, and we can just think it's a throwaway line. He again and again says, "Let's cross over to the other side." He's always leading them into another world, a bigger world, an alternative to the side that we're on, to see things in a bigger way, an alternative way than we're used to. So whenever he says, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake," he actually means, "I'm going to introduce to you a new idea that you're not ready for." So they get into the boat, and of course the storm comes up. That's probably a pretty obvious image for life. The violent squalls that come up and the waves breaking over the boats, the little boat that we have constructed. I think we're all aware with the really constantly violent events in our country that we are a culture experiencing serious social unrest. Serious. And it's pervading every aspect of the society. I don't think America can have enough guns to protect itself. The only developed country that feels it needs all these guns. And of course now it simply becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. More people have guns, so we need guns to protect ourselves from their guns. Only God could stop it at this point. We see our politicians are totally unable, are totally uninterested. Now, why does a culture become preoccupied with security? Because it's afraid. And you can all give me 100 good reasons for being afraid. But at the same time, you've got to recognize that at a certain point, fear becomes a choice. Fear is a way of life. In fact, if you watch your mind and your emotions, some of us are so accustomed to fear. And even when there isn't anything to be afraid of that's at all reasonable, we'll create something. Because I hate to tell you, but fear gives you a focus. Gives you something, as we say, to worry about. And when you have something to worry about, you feel for the next hour your life has meaning. It doesn't have very significant meaning, but it gives you focus and direction and purpose and righteousness. And it becomes a way of life. So what are Jesus' first words? Of course, they have to awake him. So the fact that he can sleep shows he isn't afraid. He has not participated in this collective fear. I don't know if your mother was like my mother. I actually had a very good mother, and I was her favorite son, of course. But she still... She was constantly saying what I think our mother's trained to say, "Be careful, be careful, be careful." I'd just be walking across the living room, "Be careful." Well, if that's the only lesson you hear the first 6 years of your life, it's a dangerous world out there. Mothers can't be wrong. There must be something to be afraid of. We're not going to pick on fathers today since it's Father's Day, but I suppose fathers can do the same thing. And of course, the response to the squalls and storms of life is, Lord, don't you care? I mean, we look at the tragedy of our society on level after level. And you must say that. If you don't say that, you're not thinking. Lord, don't you care? Of course, what he's asking us to do is care ourselves and do something about it. But at least he wakes up. He rebukes the wind. And his word is very simple, probably to some of us feels simplistic. Quiet, be still. As some of you know, the reason I've lived here for 29 years in New Mexico is I came here 29 years ago to found the Center for Action and Contemplation. Our center is here on Five Points Road. And this is much of our work, is teaching people how to be quiet and be still. If you can't find that inner center that is already calm before the storm, it's usually too late to find it during the storm. Then your emotions are too engaged, you're too angry, you're too fearful. It'll just pull you in every direction. So you have to do your homework ahead of time. You have to learn how to live in a foundational peace. Now, brothers and sisters, that doesn't come easily. You got to work at it. You got to work at being a contemplative, peaceful person. You've got to find a place inside of you that is not afraid. And you've got to recognize how often you are afraid. Fear is the lowest level of motivation. It's the knee-jerk reaction of the ego, which is always into protecting itself, protecting itself, protecting itself. Life has to mean something more than protecting yourself. That ain't going to get you anywhere. That's a defensive posture. It's a negative posture. You can defend yourself for 70 years and be nowhere in terms of enlightenment, enrichment, growth, development, maturity, holiness, or love. All the things that matter. But nevertheless, Jesus awakens in the middle of our storms if we call upon him to awaken. And maybe we don't even recognize our fear, so we don't call upon the Lord for help. But his word is always the same. Find the place of peace. Find the place of inner freedom. Find the place where you're not afraid. Maybe the cushion that he's sleeping on is the symbol of that. He is able to be quiet and to be still, even though the storm must have been shaking the boat. And he says, why are you so afraid? That certainly would be the question he would have to Ferguson and Baltimore and now Charleston, and I'm sure the South Valley of Albuquerque. Why do you live your entire lives at such a low level of consciousness, such a low level of realization? Simply afraid, afraid and always insecure. Brothers and sisters, fear feeds on itself. And when it becomes a way of life, you don't know how to live without being afraid. And I know a lot of people who are living their whole life at that level. Now, what's translated in some Bibles is, do you not have faith? I think the real meaning of the word in our language, better than the word faith, is trust. Trust gives you the feeling for what he wants to say. How come you can't trust? Just a little bit. Because you see, just as fear feeds on itself, so trust feeds on itself. And you have to practice trusting. Yeah. You have to practice it when you don't feel like it. I'm going to hand this over to God. I mean, we see Pope Francis, who's written a document this week, which is filling a whole bunch of politicians with fear, as the gospel should. But he refuses to drive around the world in the Pope Mobile. He says, if God chose me to be Pope, then God is going to protect me, and I don't need to protect myself. Of course, we all live in fear that someone's going to shoot him. But he says, that's not my business to worry about my own protection. I want to be open and free to kiss people and kiss babies and heal the handicapped. That means a man has put his life in the care of God. And when you can really believe that your life is in the care of God, then you can stop caring for it excessively. And I'm afraid that's the game we're all caught up in. Why are you afraid? He says to our society, why can you not trust? But then the final couple lines are still sort of discouraging because there's no indication they got the point. It simply says they're filled with great awe or fear or terror. It can be translated in different ways. And they don't say, let's trust in Jesus. They just are in awe that someone, as I would be, as you would be, can calm the wind and the waves. And all they can say is, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? But that's a good beginning. It's not fullness of faith, but if you can be in awe before the goodness of God, before the power of God, before the healing of God, before the love of God, that's a good beginning. And if we can all start anew today with that, I think we will have the beginnings of a new society. Frankly, I don't know any other way.